the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will see. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. That's Fission, F-I-S-S-I-O-N, with an F. Because, like Fukushima, I could use the F word, but out of respect for Mary, my best friend who asked me to stop cussing, I'm not going to cuss, but we're super screwed about Fukushima. And that's what drives me three times a week to get on this station. Thank you, Jules, for this opportunity to interview activists and get the word out about the nuclear liars and the liars, really, of not just the nuclear people, but the technologists. As listeners to my radio show know, Fridays is Call-In Friday, where I give you, my listeners, an opportunity to call in and bring new information, disagree with me or agree with me. But so let me give you the phone number. It is 718-717-8296. We only have about 50 minutes, 55 minutes on this show. So don't be shy. If you want to call in, you can call in early. I always have things prepared to talk about because we're never at a loss of things to discuss. I wanted to share with you something that happened yesterday to me that was really exciting and frustrating at the same time. I have been sending in correspondence with Dr. Helen Caldicott back and forth about a couple times to get an interview, a pre-recorded interview with her. And so I sent her in through Facebook. She's like, yeah, I'm here if you want to do it right now. And I went, okay. So I pre-record these interviews at Blog Talk Radio, which I think I'm not going to be doing that anymore, but I pay for this subscription just so that I can pre-record my interviews. So I went to Blog Talk Radio, set up the interviews, the session. Turns out that Blog Talk Radio cannot call internationally, nor can we use the Skype through Blog Talk Radio. And Dr. Helen Caldicott could not call me through Skype, which means it was going to be a long-distance call for her. The only way for her to deal with this was downloading a bunch of software into her program to connect with the program. Long story short, it didn't happen. I struggled with it for about an hour, and Dr. Caldicott was quite patient. I guess in Australia it was about 10 o'clock in the morning when we first started the project. We started talking about 11. I ended up recording it on a recording device that I had on my computer, which it sounded great to me, but then when I went to replay it, I was the only person I heard. So that radio interview is not going to happen, folks. I was really disappointed because I was pretty straightforward and direct with her, and it was an awesome interview. As you know, Helen Caldicott is the rock star of anti-nuclear activists. She is the person who brought a million people together in the streets of New York in the 80s to stop the increase of nuclear weapons. And she's still on that path. If you go to her website, which I highly recommend, you go to her website, helencaldicott.com, and look at her books. We need to read her books. I just finished reading this book, The New Nuclear Danger, which I frankly found in a used bookstore. I couldn't believe it. I bought it for, I don't know, how much is it? I bought it used for $8.50. So, I think it's still in print. I did ask her. I was cheeky enough to send her an email when I had to tell her that the interview was super screwed, to ask her if I could read this book on my YouTube channel, because Americans just do not read. We can tell them you have to read a book, read a book, read a goddamn book. If you know that hip hop song, it's kind of funny. But Americans do not read books. That is the sad fact. And frankly, I'm kind of a slow reader. It takes me a while to read a book, but I plug away 20 minutes every day. Like, I just plug away. I used to force my children to read be at school when they were kids, and so it's just something that I do myself. But listen to the titles of the books that she's got: Crisis Without End, If You Love This Planet, which also was her radio show that got me active, Loving This Planet, War in Heaven, Nuclear Power is Not the Answer, A New Nuclear Danger, A Desperate Passion, Nuclear Madness, and Metal of Dishonor. So, look, I have in this mood lately where I am the facts just make me sick. I can't keep bringing to the table all these facts. The reason I want to read the book is so people can get the information, but there is much more to life than the facts about the destruction of what is going on. The reason people write these books, the reason we're out as activists, is that we want to shake people up out of their little comfort zones. It's really important that we get masses of people, and I mean masses, millions of people, to decide that they matter. They matter enough that they're going to wake up, and even if they don't believe in the system and they don't believe that our elected, like on Wednesday, I interviewed Arthur, who said, he thinks the elections are rigged, Monsanto Clinton's going to be ascended to the throne, and that's it, and we're all super screwed. And I reject that. We have a democracy that only works if people actively engage. The reason we have this oligarchy is everybody's sitting on their rear ends going, yeah, it's all rigged. There's nothing I can do. He's lived in Oklahoma for 8 years while they've been fracking and not once contacted a city council member, a county commissioner, an elected official, and allowed Inhofe to get reelected. So I have seen it work here in Oregon. When I first got to Oregon, there was a huge campaign to upseat Gordon Smith, who's a hardcore Republican. His favorite line used to be, "We're working on it." He'd call his office and tell him about the crimes of the Iraq War, the obvious lies of the 9/11 Commission. "We want you to give them information." "Oh, we're working on it. We're going to work on that. We're working on it." So in Oregon, people actively engage, and guess what? We really did elect an awesome senator, Jeff Merkley, who is quite a great progressive. One of his first acts, in fact, and this is, I will always respect Jeff Merkley for this, he actually brought to the floor of the Senate a piece of legislation to amend the Price-Anderson Act to make somebody accountable in the nuclear crimes of what's going on up in Hanford. Nobody's held accountable strictly because of the Price-Anderson Act. So it does matter. And we've had Jeff Merkley in office now for the last 6 years. I think he's awesome. And yes, I think he has been coerced. His legislation was not allowed to come to the floor of the Senate because of whom? Mitch McConnell and my own Republican, my own, I call him a Republican, Democratic Senator Ron Wyden, Mr. Liberal guy himself, refused to let this legislation come to the floor of the Senate. They told Jeff Merkley it wasn't the time. It's not the time. Don't worry, it's not the time. So I really encourage everyone to do take a look at the work that Dr. Helen Caldicott has done. She has been fighting relentlessly for a long time to get us to wake up, not just telling us the details. One of the things that she said in our conversation was, we were talking about being active and what's it going to take, because she went to St. Louis and I watched her symposium, The Atoms Next Door, and I've never seen either Dr. Caldicott or Bob Alvarez so angry. They were livid at this symposium. They were very angry. And I encourage anyone that is listening to look on the YouTubes and find that video. It's called the Adams Next Door Symposium. It's by the St. Louis residents. When tax season ends, I'm going to make some short videos of that myself. I just have not had 20 minutes to really deal with any of the YouTube activities. So it's super important. She was talking about the necessity of having leaders. And she's like, Lonnie, now you're a leader. You have to you've stepped out. You know, we were talking, you know what made me get active? Dr. Caldicott's radio show where I heard Carl Grossman being interviewed. This was right before, let's see, it was December of 2012, something like that. It took me a couple of months I was afraid. I was really, just like everybody else, I had that knee-jerk reaction of I didn't want anybody knowing where I lived. I didn't want to be found on the internet. I didn't want the, government knowing about me. You know, I help people with tax problems. I didn't want them getting into trouble. Like, the reality is when I really looked at, after listening to Carl Grossman talk about the necessity, the absolute, this is not an option. This thing with Fukushima is so big, to quote Carl Grossman, or to paraphrase him, I should say. This thing at Fukushima is so big. It is such a catastrophic event. We need everyone to do anything they think they can do. Take action. All voices matter. That's why I have that in my intro. All voices matter. Carl Grossman said this directly to me on the radio. He was speaking to me personally. Wasn't that great? But I took that to heart. And a few months later, I found Miss Milky the Clown. I had been watching Kevin Blanche. And I contacted Kevin and had him do his first symposium here in Eugene, Oregon, where, ironically enough, a peace activist, an old woman, held up her crutches and threatened to knock the microphone out of his hand because he told them that the peace activists had failed. And they, frankly, had failed. They are failing. Where is Greenpeace? Finally, Greenpeace came out with a video about how horrific Fukushima is. Finally. They are not talking about how horrific Chernobyl still is, or the undiscovered catastrophic events that were covered up all over the United States, starting with Three Mile Island. And now, here we are, 2016, we are having it, the poor people of St. Louis. The lies of the nuclear industry are knocking at their door every single day, calling them, bending their finger towards the hospital or the hospice center. It is catastrophic. We can no longer ignore the two biggest catastrophic events being perpetrated, frankly, mostly by the United States military. I mean, the empire is striking back. It's eating its own. It's morphing into a suicidal maniac. We have geoengineering and nuclear being ignored. It is an outrage, complete outrage. So I see I've been going on now for 13 minutes. Let me give you out the phone number, 718-717-8296. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. That's Fission, F-I-S-S-I-O-N, because we are now living in the Age of Fission, folks. It's not something made up. Mass animal deaths. You want me to read more of them? Honestly, it's heartbreaking. April 4th, 5 dolphins, 1,700 geese, thousands of fish, 80 turtles, 1,100 birds, hundreds of thousands of fish, 700 plus dead turtles, thousands of fish, 18,000 birds. That's just the last 2 days. Like, it is happening on a catastrophic level every single day. Go to this webpage. We keep talking to you about this, and people are still timid about getting active. One of the things I talked to about with Dr. Caldicott was St. Louis. I am kind of nonplussed at the timidity of the people in St. Louis. She wholeheartedly agrees with me on two facts. A, that the people of St. Louis need to get their bodies out in the street. The only way that the government of Missouri and the federal government is going to take what happened to them seriously is by getting mass amounts of people. I am going to be interviewing on Monday a man named Larry Bergen. He was referred to me by C.D. Stelzer, who I interviewed last Monday. Now, he's somewhat connected. He does not live in St. Louis. He lives on the other side of the river in Illinois. He also worked for Mallinckrodt, Dow Chemical. He's been fighting to get on disability. He'll tell his story. But he said something to me kind of telling. He's like, well, you're an activist with an A. He goes, I still want something out of these people, so I have to play nice. I am not talking about not playing nice. I am talking about us deciding we have a right to voice our rights as human beings. In fact, we have a constitutional right to the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is being taken away by the geoengineering and by the nuclear industry. People are getting sick. I know here in Oregon, we have been bombarded with chemtrails in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, probably double what they normally do, to the point where I did some little bit of research. I was trying to figure out, like, why would they do this? And I've gone to Dane Wigington's website, another website I strongly recommend, Geoengineering Watch. And let me see, is it a .org or a .com? I don't know. I just have it on my book list. So the joy of doing internet. So look, the geoengineering thing is a known fact. We have engineer. He has a bunch of drop down things that you can go into. Engineered droughts, creating storms, jet spraying, GeoWatch radio, where you can listen to all of his radio shows. Hold on, I'm going to move around a little bit. I'm going to try to shut the window, cut down the noise from outside. Dane Wigington is on our station, UCY.TV, Geoengineering Watch. I watch it every Saturday when it comes on. I mean, listen to it. I don't watch it. It's not a video thing. I listen to it. And to be honest, it's one of the most important shows that we can listen to because he helped me understand that geoengineering, somehow, I don't know how it's linked, but he mentioned several times that geoengineering started around the same time the nuclear industry started. And it is probably not inconsequential that these two events happened at the very same time they started. The programs were started by our government within the same few years. So there is an assault on our planet, there's an assault on the people. Dr. Caldicott agreed with me that we do need people to take action, and I guess that I have become a leader. And this is what she said. It's interesting. This is what happens. We take action, but we need leaders. I mean, what are considered our leaders is what's this guy named McGibbons, Bill McGibbons from 350.org, who thinks that it is, that he that the I'm sorry, I'm just tongue-tied for words thinking about this guy, Bill McGibbons from 350.org. He still promotes nuclear energy. Let me just blurt that out. It's just unbelievable. Here's a guy who's supposed to be an environmentalist, and he's out there saying that nuclear is good, we need to expand the nuclear, and all of us who are freaked out about Fukushima are just being sensationalists. That's outrageous. These are our quote leaders. These are the people that get up on television. And as Kevin has blurted out many times, Kevin Camp softballs it a million times. I think I understand that after having done this radio show for about a year and talked to people. I don't agree, and this is where I like Dane Wigington's attitude. Look, it is time to stop being softball about it. The reason that all these people are tiptoeing is because they want to make sure they make it onto television. They want to make sure that their comments are not edited out to the point where their conversation is not even, They can't even get on TV. And that's what happens because the media is completely controlled by the nuclear industry and by the geoengineering. It's all the same. They're all the same empire building people who want to, who have no regard for life, human or otherwise, as we have seen by the mass animal deaths and the skyrocketing oncology rates of not only adults but children. The phone number to call in, this is your opportunity, 718-717-8296. I would love to speak with you. I do have more to share, but one of the big things I really want to get out pursuant to this conversation with Dr. Caldicott is it is urgent that people get off their backsides. It's urgent that people get off their asses. Like, we not just talk. It's not good enough to go to the internet and post your things and to follow people, go to their blogs and talk. No. We need actions. We need people to come up with their own specific actions. And I don't know what those are for you, but I will tell you what, there's plenty of good ideas that I haven't thought of that other people have that they're just going, well, it's never going to work. Actually, even if it doesn't work, take action. The reason I decided to share my story about Dr. Caldicott is because, you know what, like, I just got out of school. I got tax season coming on me. Like, I have a desk full of tax files to prepare. I'm doing it, you know, I'm a tax preparer. I help people with tax problems. I'm a tax resolution specialist, which means my clients that come to me at around April 15th don't just have 1 year to file and they have a deadline. That's usually before April 15th because that's how the IRS works. But Dr. Caldicott said, yeah, I can interview you now. And I'm like, okay. So I dropped everything and it still didn't work. I got a magnificent conversation with Dr. Caldicott that nobody got to hear. But look, the point is it's not how successful you are. It's the fact that we're doing it. Because when you're, if anybody's ever built a fire just from scratch, you don't just like try it one or two times and boom, it works. You have to, persistence brings success. Perseverance brings success. That's what we need to do. We need to persevere and find what will work. I actually don't think it's the what works. I think it's the how many. I believe that it's the masses because I don't care what anybody says. These guys sitting in Washington, D.C., if they saw 100,000 people or a million people in the streets, they'd quake in their boots and worry about whether they were going to get elected or not. And that's really what it's about. Are they going to be able to play the game? The only way that the, quote, bankers can control these people is if they stay in office. You know, if we pass laws that say, no, you can't just take big money, we need to change the I mean, the first thing that needs to happen is the Unpatriot Act needs to be revoked. I mean, it was kind of ironic because I was talking to Dr. Caldicott and I kept calling it the Unpatriot Act. So that kind of tells you how I feel about it. I think it is probably the worst thing worldwide that has happened to our planet. Next to nuclear and geoengineering is the big coup. Why do you think George Bush said mission accomplished? That's what he meant, folks. Everybody in Congress was bought off. Everybody on the Supreme Court was bought off. Why do you think the Republicans right now are not willing to put anybody in office? Because they don't want anybody who's going to be humane. They're just not going to have, it's just not going to happen again. The phone number to call in is 718-717-8296. You're missing a great opportunity. So I am going to keep on, but you know, this silence from my listeners who I know want to call in and don't call in gives me an opportunity to talk about events that are being ignored by the mainstream media. Like this one at Browns Ferry in Alabama, happened 4/6. It's a nuclear event at a power plant. It was an emergency declared, off-site notification. At 15:45 CDT, Browns Ferry Unit 3 declared and exited the declaration of an unusual event to the mainstream high-line, high-radiation condition. Power to Unit 3 was reduced to 91%. The high radiation condition alarm cleared at 15:26. So 1526 to 1545. So for about 20 minutes, they had high levels of radiation. Browns Ferry Unit 3 reported that the high radiation conditions were due to the resin intrusion from the condensate demineralizers into the reactor, and hydrogen water chemistry was a potential contributor to the event. The cause is still under investigation. Aren't you glad that they're investigating? I am. In 1941, Browns Ferry determined this notification to be potentially newsworthy due to receiving notification that counties surrounding were alerted of this event. No plant conditions changed. So it was newsworthy due to receiving notifications that counties surrounding them had been alerted. If the counties around them had not been alerted, nobody would have said anything. They wouldn't have reported it to the NRC. Is that what this report says? I mean, like George Bush, you got to hand it to these guys. I mean, while they are a bit deceptive, a lot deceptive, they kind of tell you the truth anyways. I mean, it's a bit shocking. So, we have lots going on that is being ignored, people. And it is very important for us as human beings on this planet to actually take action. Really, really take action. Okay, so look, I have an old book that I bought. It is called, and I'm going to read it to you from it. It is called The Children's Garden of Verses. And it is an old book, and it is written by Robert Louis Stevenson. I thought I would give you guys some education, a little bit of literature, one or two quotes here and there. The whole duty of children. Let's listen to the one that says number six, the rain. The rain is raining all around. It falls on field and tree. It rains on the umbrella and on the ships at sea. That's kind of sad when we think about what's coming down in the rain now, isn't it? This man could never have imagined poisonous rain. I don't know about you, but walking in the rain is one of the best things that I've ever done in my life. There was a time when I lived in the French Quarter, and I was in my early 20s, and I had from California had never really experienced much rain, but boy, was it a delight one day when I got caught coming home from work without an umbrella. It was soaking rain. It was the first time in my life I'd ever really experienced that. And now here we are, 2016, and we have to tell our children and tell the young people, you can't really. When I tell people in Oregon it's that they ought to cover up from the rain, they look at me like I'm a lunatic because rain and the Northwest go together. When I talk to the homeless people that they are the most at risk for radiation and for cancer and for problems from radiation exposure, you know, to always wear a hat, to try to always cover their skin. Don't let it get in their ears, their eyes, their mouth, their nose, because it is toxic rain. I mean, their eyes, they well up with anxiety and fear. I have not talked to a homeless person about this issue in probably 2 months, because I got to the point where I felt like I was Dr. Doom, you know what I mean? Scaring the crap out of people who already had really massive problems. When I first went out there to these homeless camps to talk to people and chit chat with them about it, I was like, you guys need to stay out of the rain. It's pretty important for your own well-being. And the activists, that's the other part. That's the other part of that one. The activists, they would look at me like, what are you doing coming out here trying to scare the crap out of these people? You don't have any proof. The government says it's perfectly fine. Stop telling these people that they need to be afraid. So, I'm not telling people they need to be afraid. What I am telling people is to refrain from being afraid and taking action. Because when we take action, it empowers us and our fear dissipates. Unfortunately, ask the people in St. Louis what it is like to have to live knowing you live right next door to a nuclear dump site that knowingly will kill you and is killing you. You watch your family members get sick and die. All of us, to some extent now, post Fukushima, live in that type of a condition. And especially because it's all being ignored. All of it. Every single bit of the harm that's being caused by Fukushima and geoengineering is being ignored. It's such an outrage that A, that we are put in this position, and B, that people are just like lemmings because they're just afraid. Well, there's a lot of joy to be found in taking action. Ask Medea Benjamin from Code Pink. I mean, who has stirred the pot quite a bit, and I venture to say she has changed legislation in D.C. in regards to many things nuclear in the Middle East. Although they seem to have their own real agenda of what's going on there, which is what Arthur was talking about. The agenda goes on. They're not dismayed by what we want. But the fact is there's millions more of us than there are of them. They can't control us all. I think about when I was reading and learning about the history in South America and how the Spaniards went basically down to those, went to Peru and just slaughtered people. And the reason that they were able to really take action is that the Peruvians were trying to be nice. They brought them in. They thought, well, if we just work with these people, if we can be friends with them. And what they did in turn was slaughter and torture people, to the point where the people lost power. And that's kind of where we're at. People feel like they're being slaughtered. But we're not, folks. Let's just be clear. We are not being slaughtered. We're not there yet. We still have a sliver of time. And as Dr. Caldicott suggested to me yesterday, and I wholeheartedly agree, Bernie Sanders is the only capable person of dealing and standing up to these monsters inside the White House. He has had to fight for 26 years against the establishment for 26 years. He knows the game. He understands what they're talking about. And if anybody's going to help bring us back from the brink of certain self-destruction, it will be him and his policies. So I could not agree with her even more. And I'm not thinking that Bernie Sanders is going to be the end-all be-all. But you know what I like about him? He wants everybody to stay engaged after the election. We don't have a right to just go to the polls and vote once every 4 years. We have an obligation to pay attention, to stop allowing the media to shove their lies down our throats. I'm sick of it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm super sick of it. Phone number is 718-717-8296. If you've just joined us, this is Lonnie Clark. I'm on the Age of Fission radio show. That's F-I-S-S-I-O-N. We are here to expose the nuclear liars, the technology liars, encourage people to take action because there is strength and power. And frankly, there's life in taking action. There is life. When we say love is greater than fear, yes, it is. That's what's driven us throughout humanity. Throughout the history of humanity, it is that unique capacity that we as mammals have to love. I think they have pretty much proven, or I don't know, scientifically proven, that the reptiles don't have that same emotional connection. But all the mammals, I mean, anybody looking at any mammal, a dog, a cat, this is why when I read these mass death alerts, it hurts to hear what we are doing to sentient beings. And, you know, five dolphins plus other marine animals found dead in cold. They're going to South America and dying. They're fleeing down there. It is, I don't understand it. You know, granted, there's a lot I don't understand. But what I do understand is we have a little tiny planet in the middle of a massive universe, and we are little tiny creatures, and we have an obligation as a species, if we want to have our species continue, that as adults, it's up to us, and we have to fight back against these people, and the only thing we have is our bodies and our voice. I do not believe in taking violent action at all. I believe that we have our power, our thoughts are things. We can create a change if we want. So it's extremely important that all of us really, really take action. So it is now 8:34, and I'm going to read to you Fairy Bread, and then I'm going to move on to a couple of other books, but I thought this was totally adorable. This book was written at a time when the world was still suffering, frankly, at the hands of the oligarchs in massive ways, massive amounts of people, Robert Louis Stevenson, there was massive amounts of things, and the world was living in this kind of fantasy land. So come up here, O dusty feet, here is fairy bread to eat. Here in my retiring room, children, you may dine on the golden smell of broom and the shade of pine. And when you have eaten well, fairy stories hear and tell. So I guess we could talk about fairy stories, but that, you know, we listen to that all the time from from the nuclear liars. We listen to their little fairy stories all the time. It's so completely outrageous. I want to read you a little bit from this book, from Dr. Caldicott's book. I'm just going to poke through it. This is what you will get when you read Dr. Caldicott's book. Because I don't have permission to read the whole book, I can't read major parts of it, but I'll read a little section of it. And I just opened up to page 152. It says external dose and internal dose, two subcategories. External gamma radiation emitted from uranium shells can be as high as 200 millirads per hour, more than the yearly dose received from natural background radiation. One DU perpetrator found at the port of Dammam in Saudi Arabia measured 260 to 270 millirads per hour. If, for example, a person picked up a shell and kept it on her pocket for 10 hours, she would absorb 2.7 rads of gamma radiation, a relatively high dose. Children have been found playing in the empty shells, and people collect shell fragments to display in their houses. Soldiers took home the radioactive ammunition as souvenirs, unaware it was dangerous. I wanted to let that sink in, folks. DU has been spread all over the Middle East. In fact, what used to be an illegal weapon is now a legal weapon. We regularly sell these DU weapons to other countries and probably to ISIS. So the question is, what will it take? And how do people find their courage? And how do they decide that it's worth it? That frankly, even in the face of taking, I mean, this is my thing. I did not entirely disagree with Arthur on Wednesday when he sort of laughed at me and said they're going to ascend Hillary to the throne. They're not going to allow anyone else to be selected. A part of me kind of pessimistically agrees with him. That is, in fact, what their plan is. But their paradigm does not have to be our paradigm, which is why I'm going to go down swinging. Like, that might be what they want, but that doesn't mean if we had millions of people, I mean, this is how I think if we had millions of people in the street, we could stop them. We really could stop them, and we could force scientists to be scientists. And one of the things Dane Wigginton was talking about, I heard him on an interview with the Richie Allen show, was these people who work for Bechtel, people who work for the perpetrators, you know, the Monsanto workers, the people who work directly for these industries that create the war machine and create the geoengineering and all these things, the nuclear industry. And the reason is really simple, because they make a great living. I mean, it's not that hard to see why they're there. You know, they get to, where else can someone get out of college and start making $200,000 a year? However, if you get into that position and you decide you have a conscience and it starts to get to you, you are drummed out of the industry. Not only that, it's very hard for you to find a job. And as I discussed last week, like that young man up in Canada, I think he was disappeared, either voluntarily or involuntarily. And his parents obviously complied. I mean, that to me is one of the most shocking stories that I've heard. And that was just a casual story. It did not make it into the news. Our phone number, if you want to give us a call, is 718-717-8296. And this is the Age of Fission radio show. I want to thank you for joining us. And I am going to pick out another poem, you guys, because I like poetry. I like the way it works. I like the way it reads. And I'm going to read to you kind of a shocking, let me see if I can find it. There is a really great poem that I think it's called Charity, but it's a little rough, so it's got a little bit of hard language in it. So this is a pre-warning to anybody who gets freaked out by cussing and crudity, but I think this is a great poem. So it's called Charity. I wish I had enough fuck in me for everyone in need. Watching how people yearn and scratch themselves into but trinkets of what they once were, simply for sex. A warm body to sleep next to, a hole, a cock. It really inspires me to throw some fuck around. It makes me wish I had the capacity to be the Mother Teresa of orgasms. Soft kisses, rough flogging. Instead, I am a girl. I am a woman. Big eyes, bigger heart, but my cock will just never be big enough. So that was actually written by a local poet. Her name is Sterling Clark. Happens to be my daughter. She did this book. She wrote a book of poetry. That's my favorite one, ironically. It's called Younger Than Dead, and it is in the shape of a coffin. It's a really awesome book, but that is one of my favorite poems, mostly because it makes us remember that we need to be shocked into what we're really about. We're just little tiny human beings trying to make it into this world. That's why we ignore the nuclear industry, because we don't want to have to deal with it. We know our lives are short enough. You know, technology has put a lot of effort into extending people's lives. But is it really extending a person's lives to let you get to be 80, 90, 100 years old and stick you in an old folks home because your kids don't know how to deal with you? Well, you know, being in such a catastrophic state of Alzheimer's, you don't recognize them and you can't even take care of yourself. I mean, is that extending our lives? Is that really improving our quality of life? I don't think so. You know, that's an outrage. This is why I don't take pharmaceuticals, and I'm not going to be honest. Somebody asked me, well, what would you do if you had a heart attack? I'm like, well, I might just die. I mean, I actually honor death. I believe that that is a reasonable way to go. I'm not going to let them poke and prod me and keep me alive until I just can't do it anymore. That's not living. That's my opinion. The phone number to call in is 718-717-8296. This is Call In Friday, and you're talking with Lonnie Clark at the Age of Fission radio show. And I say talking with you because I feel like you're here with me in spirit anyways. So let me go back to Dr. Caldicott's page. When you go back to Dr. Caldicott's page, she talks about the very first thing that pops up when you go to her. Today's thing, it says, U.S. sanctions, drills, risk, North Korea, unpredictable reaction, peace campaigner. That's the title of this article that was written. Let me give you some background. Right now, I don't know if many of you know, but the United States and North Korea are conducting war games in each other's water. It's kind of a weird thing. Let me read this story, and I think I have enough time. It's 8:43. The imposition of sanctions upon North Korea at the moment is certain to be perceived in Pyongyang as extremely provocative when the United States and South Korea are conducting the largest military exercises in recent years just south of the DMZ, Caldicott said. Exercises include this year's practices to decapitate the North Korean leadership. That decapitate is in quotes, said Caldicott, founding member of Physicians for Social Responsibility, the co-winner of the 1985 Nobel Peace Prize, told Sputnik. I'm going to go on. If anything is likely to drive someone to do something really dangerous, well, these actions are what is exactly needed to react to a perceived enemy, she warned. Kim Jong-un's pattern of behavior since the becoming leader of North Korea in April 2012 has been filled with nuclear threats against perceived enemies overseas and unpredictable acts. You know, this is, I can't read that whole thing because honestly, I don't think it's unpredictable. I personally, and I know this is a little bit radical, I think he is, he's a Westerner. He's doing what they want. This is not an accident. This is one of the things I talked about with Dr. Caldicott, how controlled all this is. We are very close. This is one of the things she said to me. We are even at a closer threat to nuclear holocaust right now than we were when she took action to get the million people in the streets to stop the nuclear war increase, the nuclear weapons increase. That was in the early 80s where she got a million people to take to the streets to say, no, we do not need nuclear weapons. And frankly, right now, our own government, do you know that our government is actually planning on spending billions of dollars replacing every single nuclear weapon in our arsenal? We have thousands of them. And we are working, I heard Obama talk about this. We have an antiquated nuclear weapon system. Well, it needs to be dismantled, not replaced. That's just such an outrage, folks. I cannot believe it. So, I mean, it is really is up to us. Let me add this caller. Caller's coming in, so hold on just 1 second. Good morning. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission Radio Show.
Yes. Hi, Lonnie. This is Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Are you on the air?
I am on the air. So welcome
okay.
to the Age of Fission Radio Show.
Okay, thank you very much. I just had one thing I wanted to suggest. And I have a cousin that passed away living in Tennessee when she was about 6 to 8 years old. I was very young of a tumor. Her mother died, I'll say 50 years later, of cancer. Okay. And they live south of the Paducah, Kentucky, depleted uranium plant.
Right.
And I just wanted to suggest to people that if you've had someone that has died of cancer, brain tumor, please check out your area to see what you are downwind from, because it is highly likely that is what caused the cancer.
That's true.
In my opinion. So that's really...
Thank you
what
for
I wanted
calling
to say.
In. Thank you for saying that, because that is actually, most people don't even think about it. Many times when I meet people who tell me their child has a birth defect or something, I ask them, where was the baby born or where were you born? Because these things do matter. As we've seen in St. Louis, where you were born, where you grew up has a lot more effect on you in terms of getting cancer 30, 40, 50 years later than we could have even guessed.
Exactly. And so I just thought that people, if they realize that what caused the cancer was something that they were living south of, or, however the winds blow.
Well, let me add an addendum to that. I don't think it's good enough for us to say, oh, I lived near this nuclear power station or this uranium processing station. That's why I got this, or my child died. I think we need to take one more step. We need to do more after we find out, it really is going to require that we get committed to taking action, whatever action that is that we know we have to take. Each of us has, I call my elected officials, as you've heard. I believe in that. There's other people who can take other direct action, whatever that is, organizing in your own community, doing whatever it is that you can do, because it's going to take us to do more than just find out why we got the cancer, and because it's, we all pretty much know we have been poisoned. Our entire country is one big toxic slew right now.
Right. I just think it's a, they're killing us all. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, well, I think it is kind of an intentional bit of destruction.
It is, mm-hmm.
I mean, they know. This is not an accident. They do know what they're doing.
Well, they don't want us to know it, but...
Well, you know what they, I think they don't mind that we know, Debbie, but I would say what they don't want us to do is take action. They want us to just go, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. Like Arthur the other day, well, those guys, you know how they do that all the time, and there's nothing I can do about it. And he just, he kind of, does, he's a firm believer that no matter what he does, it's not going to work. Right? So he has not taken action. I can respect that point of view, but frankly, if it was me, I, to be honest, I agree. I understand his point of view on that one. But I'm not going to lay down just because the abuser wants to keep punching me in the face, just leave my face there. You know what I mean? Like, no. I mean,
I do.
that, I mean, at a certain point, we just have to stand up to him, even if it feels like we're losing the fight. We still have a moral obligation as parents to our children. We have a duty to our children to really, now that we know, we spent so long not knowing. In a way, to frankly, Fukushima is a monster and it's been horrible, but the only thing that really got me to pay attention and really look at this stuff has been Fukushima. I mean, it was the, you know, like, if we ha if they had actually taken appropriate action, everybody on this planet would be concerned about Fukushima right now. This would,
Exactly.
it is an ongoing disaster that they kind of probably don't know what to do with. I mean, I can get that. That's why they're ignoring it, because they're like, oh my God, we really don't. The nuclear priesthood has failed us 100% once again. They don't have the answers. But we ought to be concerned about it, and everybody on the planet ought to be, it ought to be a commonly known thing that we have to protect ourselves from this.
One other thing I'd like to add, you're right, Lonnie. One other thing I'd like to add is that a young man and his wife moved into the neighborhood. They have six children between them. And so I had mentioned Fukushima to him, and he said he'd heard of it. And anyway, he came to the door a couple of days ago. He said, can you give me some sites where I can look up this information?
Wow.
And so I told him a few. He's in his 20s. And he said, well, he said, we have all these children and we don't want them to get cancer or leukemia. They want their children to be well. And he is really the first person that has really asked for help. Where can I look? Where can I find information? And if we could get our 20-year-olds to understand that, the ones with children, start with them, that possibly we can bring the younger people up to help, because we're going to be gone eventually.
Yeah.
We all will. But the next generation, they've got to know in order for their children to be healthy. And it's not looking that way right now,
Well,
unless
look.
we get the nuke issue under control and
Well, I don't, I'm not so sure we know how to get it. See, I don't know.
I don't.
Well, I think there's two things, and I think you bring up some really great points. It is up to the younger generation, but it's going to require that we, from the older generation, inspire them to actually, like, you were able to actually talk to him, planted the seed, and when he came back to you, you had information on where he could go to find out. That's the vital thing, is this is really important for us to be able to point people. It's like Dr. Caldicott said to me yesterday, you can't tell people what to, like, we can't just tell them what they have to do. They have to figure it out for themselves. We can give them the information. We have to let them know that this is here, and then, okay, what are you going to do about it? Like, really, just be the support system, because everybody's walking out on this. And this is one of the things that I was actually pretty grateful for as I moved, ventured in. A lot of people dog the YouTube community. They, you know, consider it sort of sensationalism at its worst, right? But frankly, there's been a lot of support. There's a lot of paid trolls, we know that, that go there to intentionally destroy people's character. But outside of that, there's a lot of support. There's, for example, you were one of my listeners, and really, the information that you got from not just my channel, other people's channel, you were able to pass that on to this young man and potentially save his children's lives and his life, or prepare him for the worst case scenario of what they have to face.
Yes. Well, what I'm hopeful is that he's young, healthy, lots of energy. I'm hopeful that maybe we can get a community here in our town, we live in a small town, where we can get that information and just plant seeds, have him plant seeds and his friends, his age group, and hope. And I'm just hopeful that they will understand it is, they have to know about Fukushima.
Well, Debbie, maybe this is an opportunity. Maybe what you guys ought to do is form like a weekly group or every 2 weeks meet up and bring new information and just have coffee and share it. And you know what I mean? Like that person-to-person contact really matters. I mean, this is something
it does
matter. And it is going to, every drop in the cup fills the bucket, every single drop. So our voices, everyone, this is what Carl Grossman said, and I really took it to heart. It does matter what we do. It does matter
that
we act on what we believe we need to do. So, like, it's not just about say, oh, I need to call my elected officials. Call them. Look up your city council members. If that's what's in your heart and in your mind, take action on that thought. Now, that thought doesn't cross other people's minds, but other thoughts do. I'm going to go protest, or I'm going to go talk to this company or this CEO and talk to the people in charge, you know, or something like that. Like, all that matters. All of it matters. It's super important for us not to get discouraged. And because we're not perfect, we haven't had perfect lives. And frankly, the government is really working on intimidating all of us. The long arm of the law, it's really, you know, I think I shared this story earlier. I was investigated by the Capitol Police. I called Mike Pence's office when he was a congressman and said that I disagreed with his vote against, he voted against extending the unemployment benefits to people a few years back right after the collapse.
I remember that.
And I called his office. I said, look, I really disagree. I saw you and John Boehner, and that's just outrageous. That your vote against that, I hope you rethink it, because somebody in New York City might starve to death this winter or freeze to death. 2 days later, or 4 or 5 days later, I got a call from the Eugene Police Department. Some detective had been investigating me for 4 or 5 days. Mike Pence's office called up the Capitol Police and said I threatened to murder his staff. Because they didn't like what I said. Now, a peace activist here in Eugene started laughing. I was upset and very infuriated. He's like, oh, he goes, that happens to everybody. He goes, you call any of those people's office and you tell them that they're going to harm anyone, they report you and say that you threaten their office. That's common. Now, if that's a common known tactic, that's where I disagree with these peace activists. How can they just sit and laugh at that? That is something that needs to be taken seriously.
I mean,
it's not just something common, but you know what? I am not intimidated. I told that to the police officer. I said, you know what? This is the long arm of intimidation, because they know I do not have the money to sue them for slander.
Right.
But I'm going to continue, and I have continued. And so I appreciate following me and your suggestion that people actually really take action. I really appreciate that, and find out and ask questions. Where were you born and what did you do? And get together. Those are great ideas, Debbie.
Thank you, Lonnie. I'll talk to him about starting a group and see if we can't get some people here united.
I applaud you.
They are growing hemp in Kentucky. So
great.
I feel like that's a step. So anyway, I thank you so much, Lonnie. You're doing wonderful work, and you have a wonderful radio show, and the works that you do, I'm just, your courage boots are on.
Well, thank you, and I encourage you.
They're heavy duty. Thank you,
Lonnie. Put your courage boots on, you guys. We'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks for calling in, Debbie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.